So I'm going to talk to you about the reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah that we just heard a minute ago. So when I was growing up, my family's Pentecostal, but we attended a Swedish Baptist church. I always think it's funny. Nothing says party like Swedish Baptist, right? But anyways, went to a Swedish Baptist church for a while. And it was great. I've done no criticisms. It was a great place to learn the word of God. But they would, every Sunday, they would end with a certain ceremony. And the ceremony would be that we would sing Just As I Am Without One Plea. It's an old Anglican hymn. Do people know that? Just As I Am Without One Plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and now thou bidst me come to thee. I come. It's a beautiful hymn. They would sing that at the end. And the idea was that if somebody wanted to have the opportunity to turn their life over to Christ, and this would be the opportunity. We attended there for a number of years. I can't specifically think of any occasion in which anyone came forward. We did it every week, you know. Well, you know what church is like. We did it once. We have to do it indefinitely, right? So we did it every week, but no one came forward. I'm thinking, why is that the case? Well, I don't know. Probably because everybody that was there was converted and baptized already, for the most part. The other part is probably wasn't the sort of place where people would come forward and be very vulnerable. It's a small town, right? So maybe that was part of it as well. The other part of it, I think, is that maybe they were singing the wrong song. So my suggestion for the song they should have sang was the old hymn that we know, Hit Me With Your Best Shot by Pat Benatar. I don't know, maybe some of you are too young to recognize that old hymn, Hit Me With Your Best Shot. I like the words of it. I have it written down here somewhere. Let's see, hit me, or if somebody just wants to sing it for us, you could do that. Anyway, it's something like, you're a real tough cookie, you know, whatever. And you'd like to mess around with, you know, sweet people like me. Yeah, I don't care. Just go ahead and hit me with your best shot. And I think that would have been that pastor's last Sunday if he had them sing that. But the reason I think of that is because of the reading that we heard today from Isaiah, which is that often when people are invited to come forward to the front in churches that do that, give their heart to the Lord. One of the passages that when I was growing up, we'd hear most frequently is, come to me, your sins may be as scarlet, but I will make them whiter than snow. In fact, we would sing to that. I don't know if anyone knows that old evangelical hymn, but we sang it a lot. So this would be part of the invitation. The part that was often left out before it is, come before that, the Lord says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them whiter than snow. The word reason, as we heard in this translation today, as the word reason, however, can mean a good discussion, a reasonable discussion. It can also mean, come up here, let's have a good fight. You and me, let's have a good fight. And the situation is that God has been reaching out to the people of Israel, God to his people, indefinitely. He has, their hearts have turned away from him. As we heard last week, he accuses them of not only indifference, but a lack of sympathy and even cruelty towards others and towards really even God himself. God is saying, I have been reaching out to you continually in every conceivable way. I'm obviously grieved. Can you not even have sympathy for me? And so the Lord anticipates what this good argument will be. I don't know if you ever feel like prayer is an argument. Maybe sometimes. Remember, I talked to my spiritual director once. She's a Benedictine nun back in Winnipeg. And I came to see her, regularly. And she said to me, well, how are you doing now in your spiritual life? And I said to her, well, I'm arguing with God. She goes, how's that going? I'm going, she goes, who's winning? I said, me. She goes, oh, that's too bad, isn't it? And I'm going, yeah, it's miserable. It's miserable when you're arguing with God and you're winning, right? You got to go, oh, that's not a good thing. So he's anticipating this argument. He's saying, come, let us reason together. Hit me with your best shot, really. Give me your best argument and let's hear what it is. And he says, this is what your argument is going to be. Look at everything we have done for you, Lord. Our worship is perfect. We're doing everything just right. You know, we got the best incense. The choir is fantastic. Come to the temple and everything's great. We're doing everything you asked us to do. And you know what? There's just no pleasing you. That's kind of literally their response is kind of petulance, right? It's like, oh, there's just no pleasing you. So I don't even know why I should bother and talk to you, because no matter what we do, it's not good enough for you. And so the Lord is going, yeah, I know that's what you're going to say to me, is that in the course of our argument, you're going to say that, and that's okay. That's how things get worked out, isn't it? When people talk to each other, they reason together, and sometimes they even argue together. That's how the truth emerges, right? And he says, I want to have this argument, and I want to hear you say that no, it's no pleasing me, no pleasing you, Lord. And what I'd like to say to you is, you're not telling the whole story here, buddy. And the whole story is about your hearts. So underneath this, what would you say, hopelessness that you apparently think you have, this where you think you can't please me, therefore you shouldn't even try anymore. Underneath, do you remember the parable of the talents, where you've got the three servants? One invested, the second one invested, well, the third one buries it in the ground. Do you remember what that one who buries it in the ground says? Oh, I know you were a hard man and impossible to please, so I just buried this in the ground. It's exactly what Israel is saying to Isaiah. Oh, you're a hard man. There's no pleasing you. I'm just going to bury everything in the ground. The Lord's saying, in the context of our argument, what will be revealed is not just that you don't think you can please me, but underneath that, something else. And that is the stubbornness of your own hearts. So don't know if you've ever had, not to speak ill of three-year-olds, God bless them. I thank God for three-year-olds. I don't know if you ever had an argument with a three-year-old. Unsuccessful, all right? God is saying implicitly, this is what it's like arguing with you. It's not that you lack the ability to do what I ask you to do. What do you need to do something? You need knowledge of how to do it. You need the ability of how to do it. And you need the will to know how to do it. And what's missing in you is the will. The truth is, you do not want to do it. You don't want to open your hearts towards me. And you don't want to open your hearts in sympathy towards other people. You just want to do what you want to do. And he says, and that's okay. I needed you to say that. You'll see Jesus sometimes see this in conversations with people, right? Have these conversations, you're going, why is he talking to people like that? It's because he's trying to get them to say what's in their hearts. Because anybody know the number one rule of prayer? Don't lie to God. According to Martin Luther, number one rule of prayer is do not lie to God, because he kind of knows what's going on already, right? So if in my heart, the truth is, I say to God, I do not want to do what you are telling me to do, and that's it. The Lord says, that's fine. We're having this argument and you're going to say that. But you don't need to worry because you know what? I am going to make your hands, which are covered in blood, both metaphorically and literally, I am going to wash your hands. I'm going to take your sins, which are like scarlet, and I am going to make them whiter than snow. And seems like you have this little problem with hearts that don't want to obey me. Guess what? I'm going to give you a new heart, which loves me and wishes to obey me. And how am I going to do that? Oh, what does he say later? He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. One of the griefs and sorrows that Jesus carried for us, was our own stubborn wills. Because Jesus was the one who was perfectly obedient. God says, I know you can't do this, so I'm going to take human flesh and I'm going to do it for you. I will be both the judge and the one judged. I'm going to do all this for you since you can't do it yourselves. And in the process, all you have to do is say yes. The Lord Jesus has already done this for you. All you have to do is to say yes to this. I love this part. I think we used to, in the prayer book, we have it as the words of the comfortable words. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. Right? And because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what's one of the burdens that we carry that is too much for us? Our own stubbornness, right? Our own stubbornness, our own resistance is a heavy burden to carry. And the Lord Jesus says to it, let me take that from you. It's just too heavy for you to carry. So sometimes it works like this. As we enter into this new heart that God has given us, again, this comes from my spiritual director. I think it's good advice, good practical advice. We come to prayer and we're asking for something. Something like, Lord, I'd like to devote my whole self to you. And my director would say, can you say that honestly? I'm going, nope, cannot do that. She'd say, well, how about this? Lord, I would like you to give me the desire to devote my whole self to you. Can you say that? No, can't say that either. She says, try this. Lord, I would like you to give me the desire to have the desire to devote my whole self to you. Can you do that? And I'm going, I might have to back up about one further, but I'm getting close with that. Because the Lord knows us. He knows the grace that we need. And he doesn't want us to lie to him. Wants us to have a good argument with him. Wants to tell the truth. And she says, that's really the key to spiritual growth, is to actually begin from where we are and to say, Lord, I can't take the next step myself. Could you please, through the death and resurrection of Jesus and bestowal of the Holy Spirit, could you make this next step for me? Help me to make it. So actually, that is a very good hymn. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And now thou bidst me come to thee. I come. Only he can change our hearts to do that. And by his blood, we do that. So today, as we have healing prayers, if that's something you would like to do, come forward in the to the altar and receive the body of Christ. I'm going to say, you know, I, for example, will say, these are the gifts of God, people of God. Under my breath, I'll say, come on up here. Let's have a good argument. You know, come to God openly and truly. Let's say to him what's in our hearts and say, Lord, take this burden away from me, as I know you will. Amen.